turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and Romans chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and Romans chapter 12. What would I have done without you? Or what would I do without you? Have you ever said that? Have you ever felt that? Well, of course, we all have. We've all thought about that person that we just couldn't have done it without them. We couldn't have made it without them. Maybe it was a pastor or a co-worker or a friend or a brother or a sister, maybe mom and dad. But what they did and what they said or how they gave or how they served or how they supported, it was for you. It was for you a very special moment, a very special time. It was priceless, absolutely priceless. You see, more than anyone else, when you think about them, they were there for you. They were there for you when you needed them most. And I want to remind you, and I want to stress the point this morning, that's what we should see happening in church all the time. Always, all the time, we should be for one another. We should be for one another. We should be for each other. Let me explain it to you this way. We are a body. We are a body of people. And when I say body, when I say church body, I don't want you to miss the point this morning, because so often when we say church body or the body of Christ, we think of body mass or congregation. We think of something large, but in the Bible, the body of Christ, it means much more. And I want to show you that this morning. It is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'll start reading in verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13 says, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many." And I want you to pause right there for just a moment and let me have your attention. I want to remind you that church is not about one member. It's not about one person. It is about the whole body. The body functions when all the members are working together, when they come together and work together. One member does not make up a body, and we just seem to have forgotten that here in America. We truly have forgotten what church is all about. When you get down to it, simply church is truly about the worship of Christ. And we have so forgotten that. In America, we have forgotten that in church we come to serve one another. We are to serve one another, but we have become way too selfish in church today. Everything has to be about me. Everything has to be about everyone serving me. Everything has to be my way. And what is happening? What is happening to churches all over America, we're losing our way. I mean, places that used to be filled with the Word of God and with the glory of God, now they're beginning to die or they are already dead. I saw a sermon, and I could call the preacher's name out to you, and most of you would know. His sermon title last week was "How to Balance Your Checkbook." Now, listen, I absolutely agree that you need to know how to balance your checkbook. I think that's a good thing. But what we need to be preaching in our churches today is repent of your sins. Repent of your sins. Because 100 years from now, it's not going to matter if you know how to balance your checkbook. What's going to matter is, did you repent of your sins? That's what really matters. Now, if you don't know how to balance your checkbook, I suggest you learn how, but we don't have to preach a sermon on that, okay? We need to be talking about repenting of our sins. And all over America today, our churches are becoming museums. We are building churches of museums, and that is what we are leaving our children and our grandchildren. If something doesn't change, our children and grandchildren will grow up like some of the people over in Europe, in London, in England, where you go get a ticket and you go into that church and look at that beautiful building. That's what we're leaving our grandchildren and our children today. They say that Americans are leaving the church every day here in America. And I'm not talking about those folks that leave one church to go to another church, to go to another church, to go to another church. We're talking about people who are just leaving the church and they're going, I'm just fed up with it all. You know, I'm sick of church. I mean, we have just absolutely lost our way. They say, I'm just sick of church, I'm tired of the gossip, I'm tired of the fighting, I'm tired of all the junk that goes along with the church, and I'm just gone. And they're leaving the church by the thousands. They're leaving the church that's supposed to be about the worship of a Savior. Church is supposed to be a place where broken people find healing. Church is supposed to be a place where we bring people together. And let me go ahead and address what's going on in our country right now over the past couple of weeks. John 3:16 says what? For God so loved the world. And do we really understand what that verse means? Do we understand that God so loved the world? Do we understand that God loves those naked children over in Sudan who's running through the streets because they have no place to live? Do we understand God loves them as much as He does your own children? Do we understand that God loves the poor and the fatherless that live all around us just as much as He loves your family? Do we really understand that God loves those people that are just as different from you as He does you? Do we understand that? So if we have a problem in this world with people who are different from us, we better get over that now, because one day there's going to be a great multitude that no one can number, and they're going to be from every nation, and they're going to be from all tribes, and they're going to speak all different kinds of languages, and they're going to be all kinds of different people, and they're going to be standing before the throne of God in their white robes, and they're all going to be doing what? Worshiping the Savior. All of us together, worshiping the Savior. So really, the church should be a place where we tear those walls down. As President Reagan once said, tear the wall down. Tear it down. Church should be a place where people come together. Where in the world where we have separated the people, church should be a place where they come together. Because listen, we all have the same Savior. We all have the same Savior. Church is supposed to be a place where you come and have a life-altering encounter with God. That's what it's supposed to be. That's what church is all about. Church for you and I. It's supposed to be me serving you and you serving me. Church is supposed to be for one another. For in fact, the body is not one member but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, and we should just stop that, right? Just be whoever God has created you to be. You know, don't worry about being somebody else or doing what somebody else does. Just be whoever you're created to be. Some people have told me, well, I like to be a preacher. No, you don't. You don't. Unless God's called you to do that, you don't. Just be who God created you to be. Be the best you that God has created you to be. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. That's good news, right? That is such good news. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think are to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having greater honor to that part which lacks. Then there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually. Now, let me kind of summarize those verses for you. We should think of church like the human physical body. This is what Paul is talking about. We should see church very similar as we see a human physical body, seeing each part as vital and necessary and needed. When we look at our own human body, we think of veins and vessels and blood and bones and we consider organs organized and how we are deliberately detailed in the way God made us. And so here we have a body and we have all these different parts and they function together as one. I mean, it is amazing how our bodies function in great harmony. For the most part, for most of our lives, our body has this common coordinated cooperation. Now, sometimes as we get older, that kind of leaves us a little bit. But for the most part, it all works together in this great partnership where parts of your body submit while other parts of your body serve. And so it's amazing when you see church as a body the way God likens it to the human body. And when you begin to see church that way, you will realize how important every single part is. There are no unimportant parts. See, I know people who live without but I don't know what it would be to live without. Without? Yeah, I don't know what it would be, that first week's experience, I don't know what it would be like living without my arms. If I lost my arms, or if I lost my legs, or if I lost my sight, or if I lost my hearing. I don't know what it would be like to live without. What it would be like to say, well, I can't live without that. I can't live without my arms. I can't live without my legs. I don't want to live without my hearing. I don't want to live without my sight. I just can't do without that. I can't imagine life without that. And if we think of the church in those terms, we really do begin to understand there's no unnecessary person here. We are all necessary. We are all needed. And even more so when you consider the Word of God, and you consider that the church should have this spirit of oneness, and we should all be going in the same direction for the same purpose. And suddenly you look to the right of you, or you look to the left of you, and you look to in front of you and look behind you, and always you should be able to say, I'm really glad you're here. I wouldn't want to do church without you. I wouldn't want to do this without you. Well, how's that? Well, this time it's Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I'll begin reading to you in verse 3. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. It says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you." Now he's talking about everyone. Everyone who's in here today, he says to everyone, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let them use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now, let's just pause right there and let's ask, what are we to understand from these verses? Well, first and foremost, we are to understand that there is no one above or below their opportunity to be involved in this body. There is no one this morning who can go, I'm actually better than everybody else. You know, I'm actually better than everybody else here, so I don't have to serve because service are for, you know, all that's for the lower people. No one can say that this morning. No one here this morning can say, well, I'm so low that I can't serve at all because everybody else is better than me. No. What the Apostle Paul is, he says, please look at yourself and think of yourself soberly. Soberly. He says, don't think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think of yourself, and don't think of yourself more lowly than you should think of yourself. No. Everyone has a gift. Everyone has a gift for service. And because everyone has a gift, when you just think of those terms, you consider, I'm part of the body. I'm part of the body, and God's grace has gifted me to minister in this body. And tonight we're going to take a few moments and I'm going to help you kind of get on track to discovering your spiritual gift if you don't know what your spiritual gift is. And I understand that sometimes we're uncertain as to what our gift is and how we work in this body of Christ. And so you have to kind of take that journey to discovery. And it's a wonderful thing to do that. And sometimes, and this is really neat also, sometimes just seeing how you react to certain situations, many times through your reaction, you can recognize your gift. Not always, but many, many times you can. For instance, here in Romans chapter 12, we just saw that there was a leader and that there was a giver and that there was an exhorter and there was a teacher and there was someone with the gift of prophecy and someone gifted in mercy. And many of these gifts can be discovered again by just your reaction. It would be something like maybe this morning, if we imagine that I had a very dry throat and I started, you know, I have a very dry throat and I'm thirsty and I'm and some of you started feeling that with me, right? And the next thing I know, we're all going, and we're all starting to get thirsty. But I mean, just imagine with me, I have a dry throat, and you have water. I'm in need of a cold cup of water, and you have water. Now I could say something really funny here. If you were here two Sunday nights ago, but if you weren't, you wouldn't even understand what I'm saying about Jesus and a cold cup of water. So I'm missing out on a whole funny thing right now because some of you weren't here. But it's okay. It's okay. But here it is. I'm up here. And I got a dry throat and you have a nice cold bottle of water. And feeling moved by the Spirit, you get up out of your seat and you begin to walk up here. And as you're walking up here, you take the top off the bottle and you're coming up here and you're coming around here and you're reaching out here, Glenn, you need this. Here, you know, I know you're thirsty. You need this. And as you get over here and you take a step up and you begin to come up these steps, you trip and fall. And most of us are going to do what? Some of you are going to laugh. I know, but we do. The church will go, oh, as the water splatters all over the pulpit up here and all over me. I mean, it's just a mess. But right away we begin to discover, and begin to recognize some spiritual gifts. We could recognize based on your reaction to my dry throat, we could begin to discern the gift that you have. You see, the person, whichever one of you it was that wanted to bring me the water, you know, whoever wanted to do that, we could see that you had the gift of helps. You had this gift of helps. Maybe even the gift of mercy and maybe even the gift of giving. Oh preacher, your throat's so dry and bless your heart. You know, I have this water and I got to help the preacher. I got to give it to him. So we begin to identify the gifts that you have. Now, when that person who brought me water, when they fell, we'll begin to recognize the gifts of others. Oh, I can't believe she fell. I hope she's not hurt. And some of you will begin to pray for her. And you'll begin to pray, you know, I'm so sorry that they fell. I hope they're not hurt. And, you know, I just feel for them, Lord, and I lift them up to you. And you begin praying for them. And then we'll discover somebody else has a gift, and they'll come up here, and they'll begin wiping the water up and you know, trying to clean it up here, maybe even taping it off. And we begin to discover they have maybe the gift of administration. You know, let's make sure nobody gets hurt. Let's make sure nobody slips. Block this off. And then, you know, you just begin to discover the different gifts that people have to serve. And then you begin to notice there's someone, and they're looking, and they're studying, and they're seeing how many steps it was, and they're looking to see if there was any liability. That's the gift of attorney, right? They have the gift of attorney. Now, the gift of attorney is not in the Bible, You know, I just made that up. And not that attorneys aren't gifted. I mean, maybe they have the gift of helps and administration. They're multi-gifted. But the point I'm making is, when you respond to something, you are often identifying what really has your heart and where you may really be gifted at. So what if when something happened, when somebody fell, when some water was spilled, what if you were that person that was sitting there thinking, we're wasting our time. We're wasting our time here. Why don't the preacher, rather than making jokes, why don't he just get on with it? Let's get back to the Bible study. Why do we have to make a big deal about spilt water? Why do we have to take time for somebody to clean it up while all the other churches are just about done? And they're going to beat me to the restaurant, and they're going to be in line before me, and I'm going to have to wait in line for lunch. What does the preacher not know that water will dry? Let's just get on with it. Now, if you were thinking that, you don't have to do that. If you were thinking that, when we're thinking that, as gently as I can tell you, we have a problem, right? We have a problem. And listen. We all sometimes have that problem. We all sometimes have that kind of attitude that's not pleasing to God. The big problem is when you always have that attitude. When that's your attitude all the time, and I mean that's something that really needs to be worked on. When all we do is just find fault in this and fault in that and fault in this. That's not working for one another in the body. That's not being for each other. I heard this story this week, and I've heard this story many, many times, and you probably heard it before, but it's worth me sharing with you once again. It's about a man and his grandson, and they were traveling to town. And if you've heard this story, just act like this is your first time, okay? It just makes me feel better if you act like it's the first time you've ever heard it. But this man and his grandson, they were traveling to town. And the man walked while his grandson rode the donkey. And as they were walking along, the grandfather heard someone say, "Well, would you look at that? Would you look at that? That poor old man is suffering, walking on his feet all day, while that strong young boy, who's totally capable of walking, sits on that donkey." So the old man, hearing this, he thinks, oh my, and he takes the boy off the donkey, and he gets up on the donkey, and he starts riding the donkey. And so as he's riding along, he now hears some other people speaking, and they say, "Well, would you look at that? A grown man taking advantage of a little boy." I mean, can you believe it? Can you believe that old man would act that way? And so he heard this, and so he took the young boy, or he got off the donkey, and now he and the young boy are walking beside the donkey. And as they're walking along, the old man heard people talking and said, I'm telling the story wrong. Both of them got on the donkey. Both of them got on the donkey, okay? And as they're riding along, he hears the people say, "Well, would you look at those two? Those two brutes riding on that poor donkey." And so he says, "Oh my goodness." And he gets off the donkey. And now both of them are walking beside the donkey. And as they were walking along, they could hear some people in the crowd, and they're saying, "Well, would you look at that boy and that old man? There's a perfectly healthy donkey, and they're not even using it." And the old man, not knowing what to do, He picks up the donkey, and now the boy and the young man are carrying the donkey. If it's in a person's heart to find fault, that's what they'll find. No matter the situation, no matter how good, how bad, no matter how perfect, no matter how wonderful, no matter what, if it's in your heart to find fault, you're going to find it. If we want to, we could start right here and we could go through every person and we could point out every person's fault. If we want to do that, you can find fault in me, you can find fault in Larry, you can find fault in Cindy and everybody. If that's in your heart, we can find fault in everybody. But that's not how church functions. That's not what church is supposed to be about. We are to be about for one another. We are to be for one another. Listen. I want you to be for me. I want you to pull for me. I want you to pray for me. I want you to cheer me on as I serve you and as I serve the Lord. And I promise you this, I'm pulling for you and I'm praying for you. And I'm cheering you on. I think with all of my heart, I believe that God has something special for Herman Baptist Church. And I think it's going to be exciting as you continue to go forward. And as you continue to go forward, if you continue to go forward for one another, you're going to see God work in mighty, mighty, mighty ways. Do you know that world out there is full of people that just want to be loved. That just want to be loved. They just want to know that somebody loves them and that Jesus loves them. When I was lost, my wife got saved about a year before I did, and she would try to witness to me and, you know, try to take me to church, and I wouldn't go to church with her. And I mean, it was. And then I had a couple of brother-in-laws. They would witness to me. One brother-in-law, and I want you to, and people are different. One brother-in-law told me that I needed to straighten out my life and get to church. And straighten out your life or you're going to hell. And I want to tell you that didn't work. That didn't scare me. That meant nothing to me. All that made me go was, well, I'm not that bad. I'm not all that bad. I'm not a bad person. I had another brother-in-law who spent a year of his life telling me, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. People want to be loved. People want to be cared for. We are to be for one another. The best gift that you could give Herman Baptist Church is to be for one another, to be for each other. The greatest gift you could give this church would be to pull for that person beside you, and pull for that person in front of you, and encourage all those people around you. Hey, can I ask you a question? Do you realize you have a pretty good church here? You realize that? You're good people. And God's going to do some great things. Be for each other. Be for each other. Cheer each other on. I'm here for you. And you're here for me. And I have, again, I have way too much sermon to preach and not enough time. So I'm going to continue this next week, okay? I'm not going to make you stay to 2 o'clock. And miss out on lunch. All right, I'm not going to do that. We need love. We need love in our churches. We need to be for each other. We need to begin tearing down walls. Because all walls do is divide. You know, it could be there's somebody in here, maybe a lot of somebody's in here. It might be that you need to go to somebody in this church and say, I need your forgiveness. Well, preacher, I'm not about to do that. Well, then all you're going to do is continue to build higher and thicker walls. That's all you're going to do. Sometimes we have to go to one another and say, I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? Sometimes the greatest breakthrough will come when we repair broken relationships. And God just opens up the floodgates. Amazing things begin to happen. Would you stand with me this morning? Praise team, if you would, come on. We can either build thicker walls. We can build museums for our children to come and look at in the future. This can be that great body of Christ that impacted the world, that shared with the world, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, He loves me. Be for one another. Some of you that are here today, you probably have some strongholds in your life, and you need to come, and you just need to bow, and just turn that over to God. And I wouldn't doubt that there are some of us here today, we have these attitudes, and we just need to just bring it and just give it to God, and let God begin changing our attitudes. Some of us, we just need to come this morning and repent of something we've said or something we've done. We just need to get before God and say, I'm sorry. Sorry, and restore that relationship with Him. Some of us, maybe we just need to come and say, God, I don't think I'm building walls. I don't think I have a bad attitude. I don't think. But would you just examine my heart, God? See if there's any unclean thing in me. Just help me, God, be the best that I can be. Some of you need to come and just pray, hey, Lord, help us be for one another.